Welcome to the Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book Sales Day call. My name is Ellen, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Brenna Beeler. Ms. Beeler, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining this month's Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book Sales Day conference call. Both Alec Gutierrez, Senior Analyst for Kelley Blue Book, and Michelle Krebs, Executive Analyst for Auto Trader, will be speaking today on the November 2017 results, followed by a Q&A session. First, we have Alec Gutierrez.
Thanks, Brenna, and thanks, everyone, for joining the call. As I'm sure most of you have seen, as we've been tracking the various manufacturer release this morning, so far the month is coming in very, very strong. In fact, a little bit stronger than our forecast had anticipated. As we were approaching the end of November, our forecast had anticipated about 17.1 million SAAR, or a 1% year-over-year decline versus last year's total of 1,374,000 units, which, by the way, was the strongest November on record. So far, with a little more than half of the volume accounted for between GM, Ford, FCA, and a handful of others, right now we believe we're actually trending closer to 17.3 million SAAR, or a slight year-over-year increase, which would make November of this year potentially the strongest November on record for the industry. For the year, we expect to see about 17.1 million units overall, which will account for a 1.5% to 3% decrease year-over-year. So overall, with the market starting to cool off, we do expect to see a relative decline versus what we saw last year. And as you'll note, certainly the selling pace in November was a bit slower from the preceding 2 months, where we had seen 18 plus million SAAR in the months of September and October. But keep in mind, much of the demand in those months was driven by the need for replacement vehicles in Texas and Florida from those that were recovering from the effects of the hurricanes. Looking at the economy, it's no surprise that the market remains as strong as it is. GDP was up 3% over the previous two quarters. We're still at historic low points in terms of unemployment, hovering at around 4.1%. In terms of consumer confidence or consumer sentiment, the University of Michigan Index for Consumer Sentiment was up 13 points on a year-over-year basis, so a lot of confidence in the minds of consumers. Interest rates are up slightly, but still very affordable from a historical perspective, and certainly when you look at a lot of the incentive programs offered by the manufacturers, you're still able to achieve 1%, 2% financing for 60 to upwards of 72 months, depending on what units you are interested in. So credit is still very, very affordable in the auto sector overall, along with gas prices, which are still hovering around $2.50 per gallon nationally. Again, up slightly on a year-over-year basis, but historically very, very affordable. In terms of transaction prices, consumers paid $35,800 on average in the month of November. This is about a 1.6% year-over-year increase. Here we see the gains continue to be driven by a shift in mix towards trucks and SUVs. And even within those segments, you're seeing a higher transaction price overall. In fact, small sport utilities saw transaction prices up a little more than 3% year-over-year. Full-size pickups were up around 1%. So not only is demand shifting towards or continues to shift towards trucks and SUVs, but consumers continue to pay more within those segments. That activity is being supported by continued strong incentive offerings from the manufacturers. Here you're going to look at your average incentive spend in the neighborhood of $3,700 to $3,800 per unit in the month of November. This is a little less than a 10% increase versus what we're seeing year-over-year. And again, kind of weighing those measures against one another, you have the incentive spend to transaction price ratio hovering at around 10.4% so far this year. So Historically, dating back to about 2005, amongst the highest that we've seen, which basically suggests that for every increase in transaction prices realized by dealers and manufacturers, it is costing them more and more in terms of incentive spend to support those strong prices. So with that, I will turn it to Michelle for her thoughts.
Thanks, Alex. Yes, better than we expected month. I will say we believe that the hurricane replacement vehicle sales have been sopped up, which also helped eat up some excess in inventory, which is a good thing. And so much of this is on the strength of the economy, consumer confidence, which is at levels not seen in 17 years, and some very attractive but targeted incentives. What I would say is enjoy the party. We could see a January and 2018 hangover as we see we expect sales next year to be lower. There are a lot of lease pull-ahead programs out there right now, and that may have a hangover effect in the coming year. I would also add that we will be watching very closely what happens in Washington this week with interest rates, tax reform, the budget, EV tax credits, all that kind of thing. It could be a very turbulent month that could affect the economy and vehicle sales going forward. We'll have a lot more to say on that. We do know that there will be an interest rate increase coming, and we'll wait and see how much that is. But stay tuned on that. And we do need to, you know, we need to recognize these are terrifically strong sales, but we also need to recognize we're in this post-peak era, evidenced by the slowing pace and the slowing rise of ATPs and the higher incentives. Next year, we also see an influx of off-lease vehicles coming that will give new vehicle sales some competition, and especially in the utility segment, which we expect to continue to grow, but there could be some battling going on between new and nearly new. In terms of automakers, GM didn't do quite as well as we expected. It's kind of a mixed bag for General Motors. If you looked at Buick and Cadillac, they were down, and largely because they don't have the vehicles the market wants, is demanding right now. Most they have more cars than utilities, and their utilities did well. Chevy was a bright spot, but GMC didn't do quite as well, and so maybe there's some Chevy's performance came at the expense of GMC. Ford did better than we expected. Helped to have F-Series have another great month, and its utilities had a good month. We did see Ford do a lot of adjusting of its incentive programs throughout the month of November, sweetening the pot on a number of leftover 2017 models, and that helped boost sales. At Fiat Chrysler, they were down a tad less than we expected. Interestingly, on one hand, Fiat Chrysler vastly reduced its fleet sales, but at the same time, it had some pretty significant incentives. If you looked at Jeep, it was down 2%, but that's pretty good considering they cut their fleet sales drastically. And the new Compass and Cherokee seem to be doing quite well. I would also note that Chrysler had some pretty hefty incentives on Chrysler products. There was a good lease incentive on the 2017 Chrysler Pacifica that helped sales, and we saw some very hefty consumer incentives in the range of $14,000 to $16,000 on the 300 sedan. Fiat Chrysler also continued its trend of going after non-prime customers with some special incentives. And I think, let's see, Honda's in and did far better than we expected, and that's without the Accord being the new Accord, which is getting wonderful reviews, hitting the market. But again, its strength was in the CRV and its sport utility vehicles. And that, let's open up for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. The first question is from Megan Lampinen from Automotive World.
Hi, Megan. Hi, guys. I was interested in hearing a little bit more about these vehicle subscription services. We've just heard from both Lincoln and Volvo joining something that Cadillac, I think, and Porsche are already trialing. Any thoughts on how these might impact sales volumes?
I would say that these are little experiments going on, and they haven't gotten, well, first of all, they really aren't rolling along yet to have an impact on sales. I thought Volvo's was interesting. It looks price competitive. And what we are going to see going forward are a lot of experiments or pilots and that kind of thing in terms of new ways to acquire transportation. Our own company is involved. We have something called FlexDrive. This is a subscription service. We're involved with a company in Atlanta that does luxury subscription service. So I think there's a lot of toes being put in the water into new ways of acquiring transportation. So the impact on sales, you know, is not there.
Okay.
Alex, anything to add on that?
Sorry, carry on.
No, I think you hit it, Michelle. I mean, the way I look at these vehicle subscription services is that whether that translates to one fewer consumer sale, say if someone wants to sign up for a subscription service, that still equates to some measure of a fleet or corporate sale, right? That's still a car that has to be sold and registered and that is out there on the road to serve someone's month-to-month needs. It's not as though someone's able to kind of get in and out on a day-to-day basis, although you might find shorter-term programs too, which could, shake up that mold a little bit. But, I see this. I agree. These are kind of short-term experiments trying to see how folks are thinking about ownership in the near and long term. I don't see any short-term impact, but longer term, you know, certainly remains to be seen.
Okay. And just a separate question. It's about interest in top-level trims, particularly in the pickup segment. Ford's just been saying that about half of the sales from his F-Series are from the top three trim levels. And I'm interested, is this just Ford, and what might be driving this?
Yeah, I don't think that that's unique to Ford. I know Ford F-Series with their Platinum and on their Super Duties mm-hmm. with King Ranch and some of those other high-end trims. Those have been doing extraordinarily well. I think what you're finding is that as consumers continue to gravitate towards not just full-size pickups, but you see the same sort of activity in the sport utility segment. You've got high-end trims offered really across the board. Certainly GMC has had success with their Denali line, both with their Sierra and other offerings. And I think it just really speaks to the fact that as we mentioned earlier, you know, unemployment has been coming down quite a bit. The stock market has been doing very, very well. And I think that while consumer preferences have shifted towards SUVs and trucks mainly due to their capability in terms of towing capacity, et cetera, those buyers are still looking for upmarket features for high-quality leather, high-touch materials on the inside, navigation, and power moonroof, and all those sorts of things. So just because someone opts for a truck or an SUV, they still want a fairly well-equipped vehicle, and that's something that we're seeing playing out more and more as manufacturers cater to that need by offering higher-end trims across their lineups.
Okay, thanks very much.
Our next question is from Nathan Bowman from USA Today.
Hey guys, just looking ahead to 2018 a little bit in terms of, you don't have to go through your entire forecast or anything, but do you feel like we're going to see more jockeying for market share and that kind of thing next year, or, I mean, pretty stable in terms of incentives, or do you think we'll see a continued creep upward there? Just overall, what do you think for next year?
Well, we definitely think that sales will be down some next year. We're kind of looking at that 16.6 million area for 2018's full year sales. We think seeing the same kind of shifts, car sales dropping, utilities increasing, but you know we have this influx of off-lease vehicles coming, and we think that the mix will be better, more in line with what consumers want, more crossovers and sport utilities are coming back off lease, whereas before it was mostly cars. And so there might be some competition between those sales and the new car, new vehicle.
Okay.
So, yeah, and it'll be a vicious battle for market share, of course. Alex, you may have something more to add about that.
No, I share the same perspective. I mean, we expect the market to be cooling down. As you mentioned, Michelle, there's going to be a plethora of alternatives for consumers, especially in the certified pre-owned space. As you mentioned, a lot of off-lease volume coming back, certainly this year, but only in greater and greater volumes over the next couple of years. So I think consumers are going to have a lot of choices. I think in terms of market share, it's going to become especially heated in the sedan segments, mid-sized cars, small cars. It's really only your top three competitors that are going to do extraordinarily well, and you're going to have everybody else fighting for what's left in those segments. So it's going to be a bit of a dogfight there. But overall, yeah, I think manufacturers, especially in those segments, will have to lean on incentives to try and differentiate themselves. If they aren't, you know, if you're in the mid-size segment and you're not Camry and Accord, you're going to have to get some spend out there if you're playing the market share game. If you're not shooting for share, maybe you can hold back on incentives a little bit, but you're going to have to be comfortable with the fact that sales are going to be down a bit. So you've got to be well positioned to cut back on production. And hopefully you have, if you're a Ford or a GM, you know, you've got a bevy of sport utilities and trucks to fill the gap. So it'll be a challenging year for those that aren't positioned well with trucks and SUVs, and just in general because of the availability of used cars, especially certified pre-owned.
Well, and to Alex's point, I do think we'll see some decisions made both short-term and long-term about production, especially in the car segments. You know, we saw little hesitation by some of the manufacturers to cut back on production of cars this year. I would expect more of that next year. And at the same time, I suspect there is a lot going on in the product planning divisions about how much capacity of cars do we need, how much more do we need of crossovers, and how many more models of crossovers or support utilities. So I think that's going to continue and probably will see some shifts take place, much as we did with Ford's announcement of, you know, moving the focus to China and such.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys.
The next question is from Kaylee Hall with The Vindicator.
Hi, guys. As you might expect,
cruise sales were down.
Not only were they down, but it was the second worst month ever for the cruise. So, what I know that you guys just talked about this, but do you think, so next year for sure, do you think we'll see more production cutbacks for the cruise, for other cars in 2018?
Oh, I hate to break that bad news to you, Kaylee, but I think that, you know, GM has had no hesitation in scaling back car production to not let the inventories get totally out of control, and, you know, the cruise will be no exception. And we also know that they're going to maintain discipline about daily rental sales, and
right.
the cruise is, you know, had been a popular daily rental car, and Malibu.
Right. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Deanne Durbin with the Associated Press.
Hi. Good morning. Michelle, just real quickly, I have one thing I needed to clarify, and then I had a question. Did you say $14,000 to $16,000 on the Chrysler 300?
On certain models of it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'll send you exactly the specific models. But
okay, thank you.
That's why they were up 15% or whatever.
Oh, right. There you go. More broadly, this is kind of a nuts and bolts question, but I was wondering how you determine that post-hurricane demand is sated, because I figured it was sated, but then I saw F-Series sales above 70,000, and that was a little surprising. So I just wondered, are you just looking at the regional sales? Do you base it on past hurricanes and how things usually play out? How do you do that? I'm just curious.
Well, we did look at the pattern of past hurricanes, and then you see the big rise at the beginning, and we had always anticipated by November that would be pretty much it would be sopped up.
Okay.
Florida got a bit of a later start, but Texas, they really accelerated in terms of replacement.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Russ Mitchell with LA Times.
Good morning.
Morning, Russ.
I got
morning.
Morning. Can I ask two questions?
Sure.
Okay. The first one, it relates to trim levels and average selling price. It occurs to me that you're getting, like in some ways in the tech industry, you're getting more bundling. Anecdotally, people are really interested in ADAS systems and getting full ADAS systems. And in order to do that, you also have to buy the high quality leather, so and all the other stuff. So I'm wondering if you're that's anecdotal. Are you statistically looking at how ADAS is driving trim levels?
Ooh, that's out of my league. I'll call yours.
Yeah,
you guys should
look
into that.
Yeah, I think one thing I can say, and hopefully this answers your question to a degree. I don't have any stats at my fingertips here, but I think it is fair to say that manufacturers are certainly relying on bundling more and more not only to give consumers what they want, but also to simplify their production mix. Because if you have a lot of free flow options and allow customization of ordering, you know, you're going to be a little bit slower in terms of getting vehicles on lots and turned and having the right inventory on lots versus if you offer a simplified mix, which, you know, we've talked to a number of manufacturers that are trying to cut down their overall trim and option counts significantly.
Right.
It certainly eases it from a manufacturing perspective and eases it from a choice perspective for the consumer, even though, you know, an average consumer, myself included, would certainly love to be able to just, you know, check every box individually and have a
sure.
totally customized car. In terms of the driver assistance
system.
Yeah, exactly. I might want HBO. I don't necessarily need stars, but, you know, it is what it is. On those driver assistance systems, I think that's an interesting one that you call out when you're talking about adaptive cruise and lane departure warning and those sorts of things. Because, yeah, you do see a lot of manufacturers that offer those as higher end bundled packages, you know, technology and safety packages on their top end trim.
Yeah.
Although I would say more and more, you know, give it another year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe tops. And you're going to find that those sorts of features are going to be standard almost across the board. I mean, look at Honda with Honda Sensing. You can get that in a Civic LX, you know, for almost no cost at all. I mean, that's just going to become the cost of doing business, similar to the way we view ABS and those sorts of systems today. So. Yeah, I think
technology is moving so quickly in this area that you're going to get high-end an HBO package moving forward for quite a while. And my gut's telling me that's part of what's pushing the average prices higher. The second question I had is at the LA Auto Show, I noticed that the Europeans are really, really pumping the electrification. And although the American and Japanese companies are also doing offerings, they're almost downplaying it. I wondered if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, the sales aren't big in that territory.
So that's true across the board.
That's across the board. EV sales are like 1% of the whole market. And, you know, they could be less if the EV credit, tax credit goes away. So.
Right. Okay. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it.
I wasn't at the LA show. Maybe Alec has something more to add on that.
Okay.
No, nothing additional from mine. I think, to your point, Michelle, it's just an extraordinarily small segment of the marketplace. There's some uncertainty there with the future of the EV tax credits. The investments there in terms of getting vehicles on the road, as we've seen with Bolt and with the new Leaf, certainly from Nissan. There's just uncertainty in terms of how popular these vehicles are going to be going forward. So you're not seeing a ton of push there from a marketing perspective.
Yeah, but the BMW booth was, the electrification marketing was just intense.
Yes, and VW too, with their EV microbus.
Yeah, yep. Okay, thanks very much.
Yep, thank you.
The next question is from Gabrielle Coppola from Bloomberg News.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to dig in a little bit, if we could, about the impact you think the tax reform could have next year. I mean, you just brought up the EV tax credits. That's one piece of the market that I guess it wouldn't be a huge hit to sales since they aren't that big. But when you look at interest rates, you look at, you know, potentially the tax cuts coming, what do you have a view on what that will do to sales next year?
We don't have a specific view because we don't know exactly how the how tax reform will turn out, but we're looking at things like not only the EV tax credit, which you're right isn't going to affect overall volume, but certainly those segments. But things like if you look at the provisions about in high property tax markets like New York and California, might there be an impact on luxury car sales? Those are all those things. It may not have the same impact across the board. So there are a lot of different aspects of it we're looking at. We have not come up with precisely a conclusion on the, you know, we have to wait till we see exactly what's going into the.
Right, especially if they get rid of the deduction for state.
Correct.
Well, yeah, right. So you don't know if it comes out in the wash or not. So, okay, well, that'll be an interesting thing to look at going.
Yeah, we may have more on that next week as, you know, this gets clearer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Deanne Durbin from the Associated Press.
I'm sorry, guys. I just thought of another one.
Can you
talk a little bit about the cadence of sales for the month and whether Black Friday was bigger or not as big as you expected it to be?
Alex, do you want to address that? Or?
Yeah, I think Black Friday was it was very, very strong. We look at our credit app data, and there we saw that compared to the other Fridays in November, I think we saw something like a 42% increase in terms of credit application activity during that Black Friday. I think it's either the weekend or that Friday of versus the other Fridays in the month of November, which is, I think, generally comparable to what we've seen in years past. I mean, historically speaking, Black Friday wasn't always a strong, or there wasn't always as big a push from the manufacturers to push incentives and sales during Black Friday, but now obviously that has become a key selling weekend. So yeah, I'd say it fell generally within expectations, and in terms of overall sales in the month, it was certainly by far and away the strongest month, the strongest weekend of the month.
Thanks.
And we have no further questions at this time, so I'll turn the call back to Brenna for closing remarks.
Thank you. The next call will be in the new year, so keep an eye out for next month's call-in details. And if you need anything else in the meantime, please feel free to reach out to a public relations team member, and we will be happy to help. Thank you all for joining, and have a great day and happy holidays. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.